All right. Good morning, everybody. And we are live. Thank you for joining Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, number 263, starting right at 9 o'clock Central, 10 Eastern. If you're on the West Coast just waking up, thank you for joining us. If you're listening to this later, we do this every weekday, 10 a.m. Eastern. My name is Bob Van Kirk. I'll be your host this morning. And we do have some friends joining us up here on stage. Our long-lost buddy Shane, good morning. Pubby, BFP, hopefully we'll get some others up here, but let's take a look at the time chain today. Thank God it's Friday, September 12th, 2025, and we are at Bitcoin block height number 914,373 with the price of Bitcoin sitting just above $115,000, which means you could still pick up 868 sats for each US dollar, and the time chain just keeps on ticking with all-time high hash rate again, and numbers so large that most people can't comprehend. But we're excited to be with you this morning. We'll get the stage rearranged, and let's go to a couple of announcements. Bitcoin Veterans is having our annual second annual summit. It's Friday, guys. It's been a long week. On November 10th and 11th in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. And day one is going to be a lot of good information, hanging out with friends. Day two will be a range day. So if you're looking to protect yourself, learn how to fire a firearm, or have some friendly competition for those more experienced, that should be a blast as well. Looking for people to get involved, please visit Bitcoin Veterans. .org/summit2025. Still taking speakers, speaker suggestions, panel topics, looking for volunteers, and also tickets are live. So visit bitcoinveterans.org/summit2025. If you join us each day, appreciate it. Always love to have new voices though. So if you want to come up, ask a question, drone on about all kinds of crazy topics related to Bitcoin, please do hit that microphone button. If you can't join us on stage or you have stage fright, but you'd like to ask a question, you can use that purple pill in the bottom right. Would love to see your snide remarks, memes, questions, comments. If you don't like the sound of my voice, sorry. I do this every day. last announcement before we get started, and we are rearranging the stage this morning, so give me a second. Thank you to producer Eric for helping out playing some music this morning, and follow him. He's up here telling everybody to run knots, and we don't have to get into that battle yet, but yeah, follow Eric. I still don't think he has his microphone sorted out, and no, he is not an AI bot. All right, last announcement. And this is a little more heartfelt from yesterday. Just wanted to take a minute and give everybody a heartfelt thanks for yesterday. Obviously, we're all still digesting and mourning the death of Charlie Kirk. And we're at a point when people are looking to break news and be first rather than looking at truth. And so we are the media, all of us. And we want to make sure we're out here spreading truth, not falsehoods. And I said it yesterday and I'll say it again today. We try to keep it positive here in this space and encourage you, our valued listener, to seek truth and be a positive change in your family, in your neighborhood, and in your community. And personally, I'm honored that you spend time with us each weekday, 10 a.m. Eastern. And I don't want to speak for a Bitcoin Veterans organization, but in short, we do this space to make the world a better place. So I'll get off my soapbox there, but One last thing. I'd just like to encourage you to not lend your ears and your precious time and energy to people with huge followings that seek to be first with falsehoods instead of seeking to pass on truth. If you give those people credibility, they're just going to get bigger and bigger, and so more division and danger, I think, in our society. So I'll stop there. Want to say good morning to everybody who's on stage, and thank you again, listener, for being up here. But let's see. We got Eric. You can give us a thumbs up. Neil, how are you this morning? That was a little echoey, but that's okay. Let's see. Shane, thanks for joining us. How's it going?
Good morning, Bob. Morning, everybody. It's been too long, and I really kind of jumped in here this morning. I'm still traveling, and I think I needed some good Bitcoin community camaraderie, some optimism, just a better vibe. It's been a long week, and I don't know what you guys got into yesterday. It sounds like a lot, and I don't want to rehash any of that, but here for exactly what you're saying is, you know, this is that community that does amazing things in its own community and around the world. And yeah, need a little bit of that going forward here.
Yeah, thanks for that. And yeah, always appreciate when you can come up. Know you're a busy dude. So thanks a bunch for being here. Pubby, good morning, sir. How are you today?
Hey, doing well, guys. We're doing this transition. I'm reflecting back now this summer, paper Bitcoin, knots and cords. And just if you're sort of new here, just hang on. All right. The most important thing is you have your Bitcoin, you self-custody. There's going to be a lot of noise out there. People you respect that will take both sides of an argument. Just focus on what you have and the rest will take care of itself. But yeah, good morning to everyone.
Yeah. Thanks again for being here. BFP, how's it going today?
Hey, good morning, Bob. Just enjoying the morning.
Awesome. Yeah. One last reminder, guys. Maybe I'll say it again. So maybe it's not the last reminder, but love to have new voices up here. We do have some speaker spaces open. If you haven't spoken before, we try to be nice to people, whether you're new or, you've been up here before, always love new voices. So hit that microphone button. If you have no followers, you're a new account. We may not let you up. If you're not following the Bitcoin Veterans handle, we may not let you up. So please do follow, so we know you're legit. Where to start off today? I think there's a lot of things that we can talk about. Obviously, it has been quite the crazy week, and, really anything is open game. But we have a loose transition. Wow. It is Friday. We have a loose tradition of, going over some of the freedom tech that's available to everyone that's out there on Fridays. And, today I thought we might concentrate a little bit on that. But really we can go kind of anywhere and everywhere, all over the place, whatever you guys want to talk about. And maybe before we get into the freedom tech thing, I thought it would be good. Pubby brought it up a little bit, and you know, Eric's up here with his run knots. And then obviously this week we've had a piece of free speech kind of under attack. So I do think, you know, one of the things that I've been thinking about over the last couple of days is this idea of discourse, that we can have public discourse, we can talk about the different sides, the different camps, the different ideas. And one thing that I noticed that Charlie Kirk stood for was really just, you know, talking things out, and may the best ideas win. And I think, you know, if you come to a space or you come into your community with an idea and it's bad, someone else will come up with a better idea. And that's how we get better as a society. And so my hope is that we don't always have to agree on things up here, and everyone in the space doesn't have to agree with some people's opinions, but the loudest voice shouldn't win. And, you know, as we talked about yesterday, these things should be talked out, and we should be peaceful. We need to keep calm. So, you know, I think a lot of us are annoyed by the knots versus CORE debate. I don't know if everybody saw it, but CORE did release the test package of CORE 30 that does contain some of the new updates that everybody's up in arms about. But I think this debate will go on, and the best idea will win. And so that's what we have to hope for as Bitcoiners. And with that, if anybody has any comments on any of that, would love to hear. I know that was a lot of rambling, but I don't know. I'm just still thinking about how we need to let this let ideas win, let good ideas win, and debate each other on ideas. And so, just curious, Neil, Shane, Pubby, Asteroid, thanks for coming up. BFP, any ideas on this? Did anything come to mind, or should we just move in to hardware wallets? Neil, go ahead.
Yeah, this kind of stuff I've been thinking about and kind of brought to mind when I be the change that you want in the world. Like, and a lot of times people will, you know, put the little Bitcoin B there at the beginning of that. And it's like, you know, philosophically, that's completely correct in the sense that, like, your being is your action, is your human experience. Like, you have to, like, you get to choose as a human being, as a rational moral agent, how you are in this world, like, by your actions. And if you, how you treat other people, how you see other people is really that, you know, that's the, it's like the reflection of really how you see yourself. When they talk about people, you know, when they get into these debates or whatever, they're projecting, you know, their own insecurities, their own fears onto other people. And it's like, that's actually really true. Like, that's how we human, as human beings, how we relate to each other. And so it's like, with Charlie, you know, the idea that, like, oh, the best ideas win, like, he's looking for truth. Understand and discern the world around him, and through dialogue and talking, you know, kind of hone his edge, to try to grasp at a better idea and a better idea and a better idea. It's like, that's how he's going to see and, you know, relate to other people. So he goes up to these people that completely hate him, disagree with him, but he's seeing them as, you know, these, as people trying to, you know, point at ideas, point at something real. And it's like, when you have that mindset and how you relate to others, like, you don't have to be afraid of the truth. You don't have to be afraid of reality, because anything you get wrong or anything that someone has better, you're set up to just incorporate that recognition into your worldview. So you're just constantly, you know, kind of bringing this to the, like, the Knott's CORE stuff. Like, you know, in our human interactions, we're updating our own software package. You know, we're updating ourselves in a way that we can better validate reality in real time as we're living our lives. And, like, that's really cool. That makes you a strong, more capable, more potent, you know, human being. And that's, you see someone getting stronger through their interactions, someone leveling up, someone, you know, becoming more actualized, and you're sitting over here just kind of like wallowing, as like denying your own self-dignity, denying your own, human agency, not being that rational creature, not upgrading your, you know, your software. You just get resentful at the people that are doing what you should be, and you know that. It's like, and that's, I think, that dynamic is what, makes so much vitriol and like so hate. Like, you know, it's really in a weird way. In the shooting of Charlie is like, that's a person shooting the best of themselves. That's like the destruction of like the shooter's own humanity. Like that's, it's really, it's sad. Like it's really sad. Like not just that Charlie lost his life, but like another human being basically destroyed their humanity too in that single act, like killing the best of what they failed to actualize in a weird way. But, I don't know. I'm going to run whatever node I want to run, like, and kind of bring this back to software. I don't have to attach my, my mental, my emotional well-being to what somebody else wants to do. You know, like, I don't care what node you run. Like, you're going to make that decision for you. I'm going to make that decision for me. And, you know, like you guys said, like, the best ideas will win. And, the strongest, in a sense, I don't know. I'm just not too worried. I don't get too caught up in the whole, like, I have opinions on what I think and what node I want to run based on what I think is correct and right. But I'm just not really affected by other people's opinions, because that's not how this network works. Like, you do you, and I'll do me. And I don't know. But I'll just land that. Sorry, I'm rambling.
Yeah, good stuff. Thank you for that. Asteroid, saw you come off mute. Did you have comments?
Oh, hey. No, I haven't talked to you guys in a while. I've been super busy with everything. Yeah, just wanted to stop in, see how's it going. I haven't been around, so, you know, everything's kind of crazy lately, right? But, I don't know. You know, yeah, you know, I was thinking about something with the whole world today. I'm not really a religious guy at all. Pretty much atheist, to be honest, but I just look at the world and I realize, like, man, I think people really need religion in their life and like community and going to church. Like, and I'm saying that as someone who's not even like that. Like, I don't know, man. I just feel like people, if they don't have like this purpose or something, they kind of just spin out. Like, I think I'm sort of an anomaly. Like, I don't really need that. I don't feel that. Like, I'm happy just existing, but I know that's not the norm. And I think that's a lot of the problems. I mean, it's just like, you see, they get into this woke stuff and all that. That's their religion now, right? And the government, it's like, they just flip out, and then you see all this insanity in the world. Yeah, and I say that as like someone who's not, so it's kind of funny, right? But that's just what, like, I guess observe, as just kind of an observer, that's what I see. I don't know why the human mind can't handle like not being structured in that way, right? And having like this higher power, this purpose. Like, it just, I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't have that personally, but the average person definitely needs something. So it's just something I see.
Yeah, I do think things hit people in different ways. And so I do think it's really quite interesting to see. You know, obviously a lot of people are searching for purpose and for a variety of reasons. And I agree with you. I think evil tends to, make people kind of reflect. And so cool to hear you're questioning things. I think that's what we all need to do. Free Dom, welcome to the stage. What's on your mind?
Well, guys, I'm about to go fiat mine, and I'm going to smash some BTC Satoshis on a Friday buy day, and I'm going to leave you with that. Talk to you later. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, thanks for coming up and doing your part of taking more of this scarce asset off the market. Puppy, I see your hand, sir.
Yeah, you know, something Asteroid had brought up and something I think a lot about, and what we've seen is this search for meaning and purpose in a lot of lives. And, you know, I'm in my young 50s, but I remember the generation when you were being raised, all your families still lived in the same town. So you had, you know, your parents, your brothers and sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins. You had that core group. You had church. So anytime a question of some sort of morality came up and should I do this or not, you had that structure in place, to people to go to, things that could help you. And what I've noticed over those 50 years, and this was the advent of technology, families get broken apart. I got four brothers. We all live in different cities, have our own families. Okay. Not quite the same there. You have a sense of, you know, questioning of truth to the point of no one knows what to believe anymore. So I see a lot of people are isolated. They'll come online, try to find answers online, and they just don't get those answers. And it's easy when you have nowhere to really turn. You don't have that foundation. It's easy to see unfold what we have seen unfold over the last few years. You know, the life has become worthless and meaningless to many people, and it's sad. But I'm glad you have core groups like this, you know, the Bitcoiners that are, in my mind, the truth seekers, and will ask the hard questions, and they're always there to help each other. So, yeah, stick together, guys. It's not an easy world out there, but I do believe in the best part of humanity, and that's helping each other, and I think we can do that here.
Yeah, thanks for that. I saw Matt giving some thumbs down. Matt, what? Give us a counterpoint.
So we're going to find out a lot more about this one individual. And I get that this is just, I mean, his situation is unique and everyone's situation can be different. And we're going to have all those sad details and truth come to light. But it does sound like all his family lived nearby. It does sound like he was active in the church. It does sound like he had community and yet still had evil in his heart, and this susceptible to terrible ideas and the ability to act upon them. And we see, and like last I checked, Columbine shooters lived at home with their parents. Last I checked, the Boston bombers were brothers that, like, I mean, we can go down and down and down the list. There's all sorts of mass shooters and individuals who, gee, that's so weird. No one would have expected. They were active in their community. They did have their family, their own wife or mom or whoever never saw it coming, meaning that they were that involved in their lives. I think we have to just take a step back and say, look, there is 1-5% of people any given moment that have evil in their heart and are susceptible and gullible enough, or whatever, you know, fit in the adjective you like. They're gullible enough to fall into terrible ideas, and in this day and age, they have the means to act upon them. So the only answer to me, the only answer is you've got to protect yourself and the ones you love and make yourself as hard a target as possible. And it's sad, but it's a reality. Like, we didn't invent deadbolts on locked doors because you trusted everyone in your neighborhood, you know? And I know I'm sounding really glass half empty here, but at the end of the day, I think you'd rather still go home and hug your loved ones than take the risk that the 1% find you in their address book or look up you and decide they want to go out with a bang with your name on it. Like, that's just the way I see it.
You know, I do think, give me a thumbs up if you guys can hear me. My space is wigging out here, but I do think that it's it is an interesting counterpoint. I don't disagree with you, Matt. I do think that people all have capabilities to be evil and to act on that evil. It's just it's hard to, like, pinpoint. I think people who have who are not isolated have a less likelihood of acting on, you know, some of the thoughts or evil that's in them. And so I wonder, I do wonder about some of these people who commit these acts. And then also that we're told different stories about them, and what are we to truly believe? Somebody's going to build a narrative around this. And the question is what wins out? So it's a difficult one. Pubby, your hand's back up. Go ahead.
Yeah. And it's not really a counterpoint to a counterpoint, but in a physical world, obviously you can be there with your family. You can go to church. What I'm saying, with the advent of certain technologies like this, there are many of those kids, that live isolated lives. Okay. They just shut the door to their room. They're not really involved in the family life. And you find this out later. You know, no, my little Johnny wouldn't do something like that. And come to find out, the parents, you know, they're working full time. They don't know what's going on. And that's only, it only comes later. So they go and they have their online communities. They do research. They can do this, but they go through the motions of daily life. Don't get me wrong. I was just saying it was a different time than when everything you did was interacting in your local community versus being able to live an entirely separate life offline. That's all I was referring to there. But at the end of the day, you look at this and it's just a trend. It is just a trend that has been going on for way too long. And hopefully what we saw this week, it will bring it on a national sort of level discussion of, you know, what is going on where people think this is normalized. That's the part I was referring to.
Yeah. And I do think, you know, to some degree, some people are so much on the fiat hamster wheel that they don't hold their kids responsible. There's no accountability. Shane, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Yeah, I definitely don't disagree with what you guys are saying here. I mean, it's when we're looking at this and kind of to bring it back to, you know, knots and core and some of the things that are going on in the world. I think it's important to remember, like, friction's a good thing. You know, friction introduces energy into an environment and it really pushes us to, figure some things out. It forces focus on a problem that, you know, when, especially with tools that we have today, more people can be, aligned in looking at something, hopefully objectively even, to figure out, you know, what are the facts? I would say, you know, obviously in this instance, you know, with Charlie Kirk versus, you know, to kind of juxtapose it against Knots and, Core, you know, what we saw was the breakdown of friction. We saw, you know, violence take place and an assassination that took that friction away, right? It truly robbed people of, you know, the ability to focus on an issue, to have, you know, more, meaningful conversations and objective, you know, learning versus what we're doing here, I think, in the Bitcoin community, which is the example. You know, you look at Knots versus Core, nobody's going out there, with any real hate in their heart. There's no violence. It's just, hey, this is our idea. This is our idea over here. Let's put these two ideas up together. Let's have the debate. Let's push, you know, for, you know, our side and let the best ideas win. I think that's probably the greatest thing about this community is this community is growing faster than it ever has. And we're going to, we're going to have friction. I think we need to stop looking at friction as a bad thing. You know, we have to stop looking at the things that make us uncomfortable as, you know, things that are bad in our lives. This friction in our lives is helping us grow. It's helping us grow as, you know, individuals. It's helping us grow as communities. And the more adoption that we see in this community, and for the push for freedom around the world right now, I think we're going to see more and more friction. It's just, we've got to be those people that absolutely shut down the idea of violence everywhere and anywhere we go. And I guess I'll kind of, you know, wrap it up here is this whole thing, is such a black eye for society. And I say that because when you get into the violent side of this, where you take away the friction, what you're doing is literally, you're literally robbing humanity. And the only thing that is left, it's not the good, or it's not the good, it's not the right. It's not, you know, good versus bad. It's just who's left when we get into, things like, you know, killing each other. So I'll land it there.
Yeah. Thanks for that. And I do see hands. I once again apologize for my spaces bugging out. I think it was BFP first and then we'll go to Matt. If I got that wrong, you guys can flip flop.
Yeah. I just want to, I heard you guys speaking about, a lot of meaning in your life or whether it be God, you know, the universe or whatever you call spiritual, you know, whatever. But Viktor Frankl wrote a great book called Man's Search for Meaning, and he was in the Holocaust, and he survived. But he was also a psychologist that was in there and pretended to be like a regular doctor to survive. But he
has a thing called logotherapy, I guess. And the whole basis of life is like having meaning. If you feel you're devoid of meaning and think that you're just so empty. So these evil people that do evil things like that, they let evil creep into their heart, and this type of like monumental moment in their life, whether it be the shooter that tried to kill Trump or this random guy or whatever, they're fulfilling an evil deed. And so I think it just, Bitcoin ties into this, because I think Bitcoin, no matter if you don't believe in God or the universe or whatever you want to say, it gives you hope for the future. It gives you a meaning to think about if you have children or friends and family that are much younger than you, they're going to have a better life moving forward and not being robbed by these people in high towers that just steady grift off of the underclass. It levels the playing field, and it's a beautiful thing. So I think it gives logotherapy to the people who truly dig and go down that rabbit hole of what it's all about.
Yeah, thanks for that. Go ahead, Matt. Matt? We lost Matt. All right, well, should we shift gears, guys? Hopefully we can get Matt back. Matt, do we got you? We lost Matt. All right. Any other comments on this topic? We're about halfway through. Wanted to still give people opportunity to chime in on this. Wanted to say good morning to Yomar and Captain Trips. How are you guys doing today? And hopefully
that was wild. Yeah.
I feel like I got canceled.
Go ahead.
Anyway, good? Oh, there's an echo. Okay. Well, I was just about to say, if we're tying this to Bitcoin, I think we're missing the big point, the big picture. Why does Bitcoin have an immutable ledger? Why does it require triple entry accounting? Why does it have a 21 million hard cap? Why is it so incredibly hard to change? Because there's that 1% or 5% of people in the world that would if they could. Maybe they got evil in their heart. Maybe they have bad intentions. Maybe they're just really misinformed about Bitcoin, but they would absolutely tinker or catastrophically alter Bitcoin if they could. And I see that as a very similar, example to what's going on in real life. Like, yeah, sure. There's people that you can help and reach out to, and you know, let's all raise up our community, but you're never going to get the 1% or 5% who just are wired wrong. And so you better make sure that you're protected and a hard target, and protect your loved ones and have a mindful eye of where you are and what you're doing, because they're inevitable. They will happen. And so, I mean, yeah, Bitcoin is designed the way it is. So these people who will be born and interact with you every day of your life can't fuck with your money.
Yomar, go ahead.
Hey, I had a little hard time finding my mouse there, and then thought about waiting until he did the crickets, but I figured I'd spare you. No, I mean, just going back to like, you know, if you want to tie this into Bitcoin, I mean, it's really about like health, right? Like there's all different levels of health. Like I posted in the little pill there, like one of the articles about, you know, the stuff that we, like our government demands of us overseas, right? Like the heinous shit that we do time and time again for decades. Like that has an impact, right? Like if you're asked, like, you know, don't worry about those like dead, innocent people on your screen. Like that doesn't really matter. Like if you think that doesn't leach into like your soul and like the soul of the country, like you're definitely wrong. Like that has an impact. Like that desensitizes people, and in an effort to like support like the war effort. You know, there's a reason why like the military and the CIA and all of them have ties with Hollywood and work on like making things realistic. Like look at the studies that they did after World War II to get people more comfortable with killing. You know, it was like, hey, we got to introduce like this idea, you know, we have to bridge the gap between thou shalt not kill and hey, go kill for your country. So they worked, you know, as a sizable effort to get, to close that gap. And that will have like an impact on a society. And then you couple it. So that's like the military industrial complex, right? And, you know, if you read, Bitcoin Standard, any of those books, like you'll know that Bitcoin fixes that, right? We can't have endless wars without endless money. So if we had Bitcoin, like that would put an end to it. We wouldn't have to try to reconcile, you know, the mass murder we commit overseas with the expectation of basic human decency. Like, oh, that woman was stabbed. Let me try to stop the bleeding instead of shuffle to the next car so I don't get blood on me. Or, you know, this father was murdered. Like, let's have some empathy for the family. You know, it's hard to reconcile those, like, you know, something that's just objectively evil, that our government's doing. And then them asking us to be, you know, good on the, in the local front. I think that's a major challenge. And then you have, you know, the other side of this is all the mental health issues, right? And if you read, like Fiat Food, you can get an insight of like how, you know, because we have this, the fiat system and the way it incentivizes like bad food that leads to all sorts of health issues, you know? And then I've heard studies, I don't know the studies themselves, but I've heard studies saying that like, you know, physical exercise is much more effective than SSRIs. But if you're feeling like garbage because you're eating garbage, you probably don't want to work out. And if they'll give you a pill that they say makes you better, they'll probably just take it. And I think that's another, you know, just exasperates all the problems. And I think, you know, tying it back to Bitcoin, you know, if we had a Bitcoin standard, it would resolve, you know, the phrase, Bitcoin fixes this. It fixes a lot of it, you know? So that's how I would tie this all back to Bitcoin. Like there's, sickness in our foreign policy. There's sickness in our food, in our healthcare. And, I think, being on a Bitcoin standard would fix a lot of those problems.
Yeah. Thanks for that. And I do think it's hard to pinpoint one thing. Obviously we have a lot of problems, and they seem to feed on each other. And I do think in an age of, where everybody seems to be all knowing at all times, even if it's based on false information, because we have the internet, I think it makes it difficult, right? We've talked about it a bunch, lots of propaganda and, but no doubt there's certainly a lot of issues. I think maybe we've beaten this one up a little bit. And so we'll reset the room. If you guys, we do have a couple of spaces for speakers. If you guys want to come up, please do, hit that microphone button. Looks like comments are showing up twice. So you're getting double the post today, guys. Hopefully X doesn't, deem you a spammer for having double posts. At least that's what I'm seeing. So, let's talk about some new things that have come out. We've touched on this before. Maybe this is somewhat related to what we've been talking about, this week, but we saw, over the weekend, the protests in Nepal and the daily intelligence bulletin that the Bitcoin Veterans puts out every weekday, talked about BitChat being used, as an offline method for the people in Nepal to coordinate and communicate on a mass scale during the protests. And, I think a lot of people have maybe cast some shade on BitChat, where it's like, hey, who's going to actually use this? But once again, I think, people who need to organize and stay off the internet are able to do so with tools like this. And so wanted to get some reactions from people. Wade, welcome to the stage. Don't want to put you on the spot, but did you have thoughts on this topic?
I just jumped up, guys. Good morning, though.
Yeah. Anybody else? Have you guys downloaded BitChat yet? And, Have you tried to drive any adoption, or are you just not worried about it? Because you live in the safest place in the world during our time.
Bob, for some of us that have been on the road all week and traveling and haven't had a whole lot of time to look at things, could you help us better understand? I thought I saw something about Jack Dorsey talking about this, and it will hide your IP address. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Can you kind of go into the example?
Yeah, you know, and I think you would find particular interest in this based on Bitcoin veterans' use of Meshtastic. But essentially the idea is that it actually doesn't even communicate over the internet. It only communicates via Bluetooth. At least that's my understanding. Sort of. Yeah, go ahead, TC.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I appreciated listening in this morning. Still recovering. BitChat. It's a very impressive, very simple piece of tech that is now on iOS, Apple App Store, and the Android Play Store. And you load it on your phone, and it almost looks like it doesn't do anything because it's so simple. But essentially, you can communicate with other people on a spectrum of different sort of methodologies and channels. So on one end of the spectrum is the Bluetooth thing, where you're literally connecting with people in your physical proximity. If you're close enough to them, you can detect one another and you can communicate. Then there's also the mesh network aspect of it, where they're actually using Nostr messages under the hood. And so there's actually very vibrant sort of chat rooms at the moment globally, where you see people all over the world communicating. And it's under the hood. It's using Nostr messages to facilitate a chat phenomenon. And this is pretty badass. Like, it has this interface, where you can basically kind of go from, you know, your like immediate area to your, city, and then your, you know, your county and your state and your country. Like, you can kind of like step your way to larger and larger, kind of reach. And then it's very trivial to just create a new sort of chat room based on like a unique sort of looks like a hashtag kind of thing. And then anyone can just connect to that just by typing that in. So it's just this incredibly versatile, very simple communication tool. And one really interesting aspect of it is that since recent updates, both the iOS and the Android version apparently use Tor like all the time. And so this is a really incredible sort of like privacy communication tool. You can be completely anonymous. You can put whatever identifier you want for yourself. And it's one of these things where, of course, from a Western point of view, where you're sitting there with like literally 15 different communication apps on your phone, plus cell phones and, you know, seemingly never out internet, it seems like, why do I need this? But look at what's happening in Nepal. You know, a moment of crisis, and the government looks to basically pull the plug on the internet, and the communication channels that people have. And here is a tool for resilience, for communication pathways. And it's, I think, incredibly compelling, and one of these things that you just owe it to yourself. Download it, plink around, figure out how it works, and just keep it there as like a tool in your back pocket for, you know, the rainy day when you need that kind of thing. That's basically the context of it as I see it today, being one of these privileged people that lives in the West.
Yeah, thanks for that. And Shane, I see your hand went up, so go ahead.
Just wanted to clarify real quick. So this is a mesh network that incorporates more like multiple types of radio in terms of our handheld and the networks that are out there. It sounds like it's at least Bluetooth, probably UHF, VHF, and possibly even GPS. Is that correct?
I don't think it's should be thought of as any one particular communication channel. I think most people who are using, like most of the people you see in the Bitcoin Twitter sphere who are using this thing are on these more global chat room, channels. And that's all using Nostr messages. It's literally just, I mean, if you understand like the nature of a chat room thing, okay, this person says this, this person says that, they're all like individual messages, and it's leveraging Nostr relays under the hood and Nostr messages to sling those messages around the internet and, you know, facilitate a chat. But the point is that the whole sort of purpose of it is to have this idea of you've got multiple different communication channels, and on one end of the spectrum, you're communicating globally. On the other end of the spectrum, you're literally connecting to people who are just in your proximity, and Bluetooth is able to connect you. And so there's a like spectrum of different levels, and I expect this to just continue to evolve. I mean, just in the last week or so, the, you know, Tor for everything just came out. That update just came out, and that's massive. It's just to kind of obscure, you know, all the communication there. So it's just a very, it's a very cool project simply because the ethos of it really does champion the little guy. And it really speaks to the moment for anyone who's living in a place where just, you know, simple communication is under fire. And I would say in the West, you know, we're basically fully under assault with that, just in a sort of shadowy way. And most people don't even pay any attention to it, but we do have the need for privacy, and we do have the need for, you know, multiple backups as far as what are we going to do when your primary mode of communication gets censored or shut down. It's the era we live in. And it's just when you least expect it that, you know, that rug gets pulled. So have a backup plan.
Yeah, I think this is cool, and we'll go to Wade here in a second. Sorry, you come off mute. But one thing that I thought of using it for is in May, I was on a plane with my kids and my wife, and unfortunately, a couple of my kids got split up, and they're old enough for to handle that and sit next to strangers. But I was thinking that this could be used on a plane, the Bluetooth at least, to communicate. And it's kind of interesting, like, what would drive adoption, right? Like, I get thinking about this, like, you know, we've kind of touched on Nepal, right? They're using it because they have an existential threat. The internet's being shut down. But what would drive adoption? Because these apps are only as good as the adoption, right? And so I just wonder, like, in what places, in what spaces would this make the most sense? I think, at least in the United States, we've seen that the internet has been deemed critical public infrastructure. And so, you know, they make every attempt for it to stay up, or at least not go down for long periods of time. So I do wonder, like, what you guys' thoughts are. Do you think it's the threat of the internet going down, or is it more kind of what TC was alluding to, which is that surveillance will become more seen by people and understood by people as a threat, and they'll start adopting apps like this? We can say that's a rhetorical question if nobody wants to jump in on it. I did want to go to Wade, as I promised.
Bob, I just want like a sipper nipper handheld communication protocol that I can sign and validate comms with. That's what I want, with the best user experience. And if this does that, that's great.
Yeah, I don't know about the signing part. I mean, I think actually Bob's example of being in an airplane with your family is a fabulous use case for you. You have a small group of people, you're in close proximity, you want to be able to communicate, and you're probably not going to have your normal communication channel available. That's a killer use case right there. I think that's the kind of thinking you need to think about. And really, honestly, you know, I saw stuff over the last week. I mean, so much shit has been going on, but I saw there's kind of chaos on another level breaking out in France, and the government there was talking about using the internet cutting off internet communication for people. So it's just, I think it's just a reminder. It's the era we live in. We have become incredibly dependent on all of these lines of communication, and it's just a no-brainer. You've got to have as many backup options as possible. And to me, BitChat is just, it's a really killer backup option for sort of edge cases, but it's also, you know, it's got some sort of gravity in the sort of Bitcoin sphere. So I look at it also as a, you know, sort of like a Bitcoin channel of communication in a way. You have to really think about it, to kind of get a complete perspective on it. In my opinion, it's also the kind of thing I just wouldn't, you know, have on and open all the time, because there's the flip side of the privacy aspect of it. But it's this app that I'm happy that I've, you know, spent a couple hours and familiarized myself with and tried out, and now it's on my phone and I can reach for that when I'm in that situation.
Yeah, that's good stuff. One other thing I wanted to highlight. Oh, go ahead. Green-Eyed Ghost.
Hey, what's up? My name's Will. It's not on this topic, sorry, but I got to jump at the top of the hour, and I just wanted to share the good word. I'm working with the team at PubKey, if you guys have heard of them. They're here in New York, and I'm helping them set up a recurring veteran meetup here in New York City. I'm going to put a link to a Signal channel that I've created just to kind of get people congregated, but wanted to share it here. I'll come on probably regularly and just make soft plugs for it over the next couple of weeks as we get it going. But if you guys are in New York City area, or if you have friends, or even if you just come and travel by, like, please jump in there and share it. We want to get the New York City space for this. Like, this community is just abhorrently lacking in my experience here, and or just kind of disconnected and not found their way together. So trying to do the right thing and get something cooking here, and so grateful for the guys at PubKey to be supporting this effort and offering the space and resource and all that stuff. So yeah, that's it. Just soft plug, but thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming up. Always good to hear of resources, especially in places that need it. And America's largest city, I think, definitely needs it. We can hop back to BitChat, but I also wanted to bring up another thing I've been playing around with that some people might find interesting. This could be useful, not just from a communications tool, but a free and open source protocol called Sync Thing. So it's syncthing.net. If you want to take a look at it, essentially what it does is it's a private and secure way to share files amongst devices. So you could use this on your own if you were wanting to manually back up your phone to your computer. And, you know, some people have servers and they can drop stuff on there, but this is nice because it just is a really lightweight app that sits on your device, and you can sync files back and forth. This can also be done either on a local area network, so just at home or in your office, but you can also use this to easily share and collaborate with others. So maybe you'd use this in a Bitcoin meetup group where you're collaborating on some things, or some other type of team that you're on, where you'd want to share information. So if you want, we could talk about it a little bit, but if you want, check it out. It's Sync, so S-Y-N-C, thing.net. And easy to download on pretty much any device. I've been playing around just on my local area network between my phone and my computer, but I think it's things like this that people will use in different ways. To be able to do more than just communicate amongst each other, like we were talking about with BitChat, this is a way to safely and securely allow your devices or a group of devices to talk to each other and share files. And so I think, I don't know, maybe some people in the space are thinking, man, that's not really that interesting. But I don't know. I like to play with these things and check them out. And so when we look at Freedom Tech, maybe this is something that would excite some other people, or people would come up with other use cases, than, you know, what's, I guess what people see on the surface. So has anybody else, seen this sync thing or, think it's, worthwhile or, yeah, just, TC, what are your thoughts? Do you think using, files could be helpful beyond just like standard communication like we were talking about with BitChat?
I didn't quite follow you there, Bob. I'm sorry. Using files?
Using files?
Yeah. So, I mean, the idea is you can share files. So it would just be, you know, any type of information that you would want to collaborate on, versus just, you know, I think BitChat is great for messaging. So is Signal. But, you know, the way I see sync thing is it's a nice, secure way to share more than just messages. You can actually share files on your computer or your phone with either people in your family or maybe, like I said, a collaboration amongst people who have a shared goal. Leave it to me to bring up the crickets for myself.
I don't know. I'd need to see the use case.
Yeah, I think it's a cool project. It's open source, open development. They actually encourage people to challenge it, but they do make it so that it's encrypted and private. If you want, you can share with particular devices or particular people, and seems like it's pretty easy to use and deploy. Like I said, you can download it for Mac, Windows, Linux, Android, so on and so forth. So it's pretty much got everything. But good stuff. Well, this was a fun Friday, guys. We're getting down towards the end of the hour. What else is on your minds as we look to close this out? Should we close this one out early? Is everybody tired from the week? Or does somebody else have something on their mind before we wrap it up? Just want to give everybody a chance. Knowing that Eric can only give a fist bump or a thumbs up or a heart, we'll skip him. But don't think we heard from Coleman this morning. Coleman, are you still excited about gold? And good morning.
Hey, good morning. Can you all hear me okay?
Yep, go ahead.
Well, I just want to make sure everybody who may not be familiar with me aware I am not a gold bug. I just want to make sure. I do think Bitcoin is superior in every single way. I think if you have a gold position, I would strongly suggest, not financial advice, but to move almost all of it into Bitcoin. With that being said, though, I did make a call early in the year that I thought gold was going to do quite well, just as the world kind of unravels a little bit more and there's a lot more uncertainty going on. So, the price of gold going up. Yeah. Silver going up. I think it's impressive. I think there's a lot of people out there that it benefits, but anybody who's still strongly invested in gold and silver, again, I would highly suggest moving it into Bitcoin. It's easier to, and it's safer. It's yours. It's in your custody. You can go anywhere in the world instantaneously with your Bitcoin and nobody will know. If someone can show me a way that you can do that with your gold and silver, I'm all ears. But I figure if that happens, you're probably going to be parted with your holdings. So I don't know if I answered your question, Bob. Sorry, I've been running around all morning.
No, it's great. Always love to hear from you. And also wanted to give Captain Trips a chance here before we wrap it up, not to put you on the spot. Any thoughts as we close out the week here? I'll take that as a no. Well, we do thank you all for joining us. We do this every weekday, 10 a.m. Eastern. It's been kind of an interesting week. But again, go out there, seek truth, be positive in your community, not just online, in your family, in your neighborhood, everywhere you go, be nice to people. Tell somebody close to you that you love them. I don't think we do that enough. At least I don't. And I think people need to hear it. So, again, try to keep it positive here. Do appreciate all of you who listen each and every weekday. And thank you to everybody who came up again and helped me cover the space. It's always good to have speakers. We had some new ones today, which is great. And that's all we have for today, guys. Hope you all have a wonderful Friday, a great weekend. And remember, as always, whatever you do, especially this weekend, do not shitcoin. We'll do a fan favorite. It's like taking cough medicine to cure your hemorrhoids.
People that use fiat currency as a store of value. We call them core. We call them core.